Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Yeah, this is the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. I'm Gwen. I'm down in South Florida. And Nick is up in New York City where they're getting snowed on again. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen.
Happy snow days.
Thank you. It's a big slushy outside, I'll tell you that.
Somebody dump a bunch of syrup and we're all going to play. Yeah, totally. You know, tonight we were talking about the subject of self-confidence and the tools that we have to explore it and to go within and yada, yada. We'll get there and a little bit of Tom Lesher, but I've got the perfect intro song for self-confidence. You want to hear it?
I do.
Okay, here it comes.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that you're, he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all, we're just listening for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Listening
for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
That was awesome. Awesome.
I was supposed to pantomime the whole thing.
I was doing it. Here I come to save the day. What is that thing where the guy does the, somebody did a spoof on it where he just keeps popping out of nowhere?
Kaufman.
That's it.
Yeah, it was part of his, that was his act. He'd come on stage, put up an old phonograph and play the record, and every time it would go, here I come to save the day, he'd pantomime it. It was funny. It was thought to be groundbreaking comedy in today.
It clearly stuck with me because I was doing the same thing. The hands, the show, one of those jazz hands.
Point the finger into the sky, yeah.
Brilliant, Gwen. Good call.
You know, the even worse part about this is I can remember the cartoon.
Awesome.
Jeez. Yeah, self-confidence. Well, you know, I think that today I shared on the social, on Facebook, I went a little introspective because, you know, things are going on and I've got to deal with some things on the edge there. And it takes, you know, a self-confidence, which is the application of courage and taking risks and, you know, all the things you have to do to put yourself into forward motion most of the time in life. I don't think we actually give ourselves enough credit for that we really, it takes courage, especially for so many ordinary people in their, you know, it's like the Beatles song, A Day in a Life, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has to get up and face whatever there is in the day that they probably have, you know, there's great fears there, which, of course, we would love to work on and see that there aren't, because it'd be such a better world, and that's what we work with in healing and looking at introspection or going within about these things and facing whatever the dragon or the beast is within us and you know, embracing and transmuting it. But people get up every day, and they have to ride the train or they have to take a walk to the bus stop or they get in their car and they go to a job that could be various different things about it that makes it the most unpleasant thing in the world, you know?
Yeah, I'm reminded of just before the show, I went out to the store and like I said, New York is like a big mush, gushy bowl. Like every time you try to go from the sidewalk to the street, there's a gigantic pond, not a puddle, it's a pond of slushy. So, you know, everyone kind of gets there, including me, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of trapped here. I'm like on an island. And I saw one guy trying to get over slick, you know, he had like a nice suit and beautiful, nice shoes, like not weather gear at all. And this guy tried to do this gallant leap over the puddle, the pool really, and fell again and slipped again. Like, I mean, ass in the pond. I mean, he's like up beyond his waist in dirty street water, snow. And his recovery, I mean, I just stood there and I was like, whoa, what just happened? But his recovery, I mean, maybe it was, you know, trying to save his ego, but he kind of had this smile on his face and just got up and kept walking and just kind of shook it off and was just like, oh, well. I mean, as opposed to the, friggin' crap over and cursing everything, you know, I thought that was, I was like, wow, that guy really dealt with that situation. I mean, I don't know what I would have done. Mortified in the beginning, you know, good Lord.
You were just explaining the intro to the movie in a way with Doris Day and Cary Grant that was, it was placed in New York City and it begins with Cary Grant's limo splashing slush all over Doris Day's skirt in the beginning. And it sounds like that kind of a dilemma.
Yeah, like what do you do after that? And I think that is part of confidence, you know. I mean, some people would just crumble in terror, you know, and understandably so. It's like, what just happened?
But, and the thing of it is, too, oftentimes in a situation like that, we jump to the conclusion that we have a responsibility for it, and therefore we're going to be judged by the public walking into the dentist's office with all this slush all over us, you know, everybody's going to look at us with disgusting faces.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do with that?
And the truth is that, you know, you can take that situation and turn it around in many ways by saying, wow, look what I just experienced out there. Isn't that too much? You know, you can use humor to disarm people. I try to do that a lot.
I do it with myself, to disarm myself. I'm like, listen, lady, how about we giggle about this? How about that?
Well, you know, something I got to say here is that but I will get mad. I mean,
sure. It's part of the comedy.
Yeah. I've had those situations happen to me. I think we all have in one way or another.
Sure.
We've had those situations happen to us. But, you know, also going back to the ordinary guy that or ordinary woman or teenager that goes to work if they're lucky enough right now to get a job at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Jobs are really getting very, very hard to come by out there.
I think it's the push of the Renaissance. I do. You're not going to do something different if the same old thing is still there and it's easy. I think it's part of the shift, if you ask me.
I know that you're correct with that. I really do. And listen, I've been in a tight corner financially, and I've actually reached out to some local places just to get some cash supplement. It's not going to happen. Not the way, you know. I'm looking at it, and certainly it's wow, that it's really that dry out there. And you can even go on Craigslist and look at things they've got up on Craigslist. There always seems to be a catch, you know. It's like those ads that you call in, and it's some kind of, oh, well, you give this much time or buy into it or whatever, you know, like making a living from home type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult out there, and people who are without and they have to turn to that government subsidization, that's not so easy to do anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as a society, I think, well, from my perspective, we should be headed toward a place where the oligarchy is no longer functioning in this society or any society on the planet, and that we're taking care of ourselves and our people, and we have enough. I'd love to know what the system is in Star Trek. I just keep going there. I keep going to, how do they do it in Star Trek?
Well, in Star Trek, they eliminate poverty, disease, and all kinds of things on Earth, and then they join the Federation, you know, of planets. So,
right. But how did they eliminate it all on Earth, and yet everybody still has it? It's like socialism, I suppose, in Denmark or one of those Nordic countries where everybody has different levels of earning, but nobody's without. Everybody gets an education and health and housing too. So, but your taxes there are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They're like half your income. But if you listen to people here, the taxes for especially the wealthy are just way too high. I never minded paying my taxes. I never have, because I always knew that they went to providing for the community and infrastructure and going out to pay for the salary of the people who, like, serve the community and the first responders. When you think about what your taxes do, they're not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you hope that they're fairly distributed and maintained, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with this. I think it starts with this all. It's a waking up. I mean, now it almost sounds cliche to say, but only because it's just so obvious. I mean, if there are no coincidences in the universe, I was just watching Sherlock, and he says, "Oh, well, it might be a coincidence." And his brother Mycroft says, "And what do we say about coincidence?" And Sherlock says, "The universe is rarely that lazy."
Like that. Are you talking about Sherlock, the BBC version?
Yeah, with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, my God, is that the best stuff? Is it the best stuff?
I mean, cures all ills. Cured me today. I was in a funk-a-dunk, and then I was like, everything is fine. But again, there's no coincidence, and I think, you know, all of this with no more the government subsidies are more difficult and the jobs are more difficult and all of this strain, you know, when we're backed into a tight corner, that's when we really see what we're made of. And, you know, when we start looking at what we're facing and looking at ourselves, it's the waking up period. I mean, you know, it's never fun when somebody wakes you up physically, like with a jolt. So I think we're going through the same thing, just like, whoa, 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 what? So
it's quite true. And, you know, in our field, we'll say, well, you keep going over it until you get it. Mm-hmm. Well, in our field and in psychology, too. But, yeah. You know, the thing is that you have to look at things from within, too. You have to introspect. You have to ask yourself some difficult questions when you're faced with difficult situations or crisis. And one of the things that has brightened me up a little bit out of the self-pity bitching and, you know, crying and on the edge of this, that, or the other is someone walking up and having a need so much greater than just, you know, money to pay the bills.
Right.
I agree.
I've seen some of that this week. And it slapped me up, I'll tell you that.
The contrast.
The contrast is incredible. I come back, and you shouldn't come back. You should pat yourself on the back for everything that you do accomplish.
Yeah.
There are people out there that, you know, working for yourself is just, It is very difficult. Now, there's some people who have a knack for it that do it really well. And there are some people who do it really well that have a knack for it who are doing it, you know, underhandedly too.
Yeah, and I think that's part of when we're learning something new, we're doing something for ourselves. And so many new businesses and personal businesses are popping up. And, you know, you decide, okay, I'm good at this thing. I like doing this thing. So you do this thing, but now you have to think about everything else, the marketing. You're all your own departments, the marketing, the PR, the Facebook, you know, social media, the website designer. You know, now you have to wear all these different hats. And, yeah. And you're right to... to pat yourself on the back and go, okay, you know, I am good at this. That's why I chose to do this. Just because this other thing, you know, maybe I make some mistakes. Maybe I have some learning curves. But, you know, I'm doing this to further this other thing, to keep it into perspective, because otherwise we can get so overwhelmed. And I think that's part of the confidence. Remember, I pick cards for myself today, and I'm such a doubter sometimes, especially when I'm feeling confused. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is the right card. Well, I ended up picking the same card twice, which was Apollo, which is focus on your strengths. And I think the reason why at first I was like, because I was like, yeah, focus on your strengths. But then I finally read the card, and it was all about, you know, just because you can't do everything perfectly, you know the things you can do very well. So instead, focus on those. Again, bringing your vibration up and helping your confidence so that you can move forward and not be confused with, you know, all these other informations that are coming in.
Yeah, and it's difficult to get past the fear, because oftentimes you're at the edge of survival. You're threatened with foreclosure. You're threatened with... not having food for the children. There are many things that are...
a lot of pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of those edges around lately, which, you know, we're not in a blooming time. We're in a seedling time for humanity on this planet right now. We have the blossoms we need here and there, but really, frankly, it's hard to see so many people so upset all the time. And one of the ways that people are being upset is being, I don't know how to put this, sort of backing out of life and just going along like automatons. You know, if I get a paycheck, bring it home and bury my head in whatever really good TV show is on, it'll be all right. You know, and there's a huge amount of people living that way right now.
Wow, that's interesting. Bashar has been talking about that. I've been listening to him more often, and he's talking about that right now it's a bunch of trains on different tracks in a station in 2014, and all the tracks are going in different directions. So from now till 2019 or so, he was talking about that the trains are going to go faster and faster, and the tracks are going to get farther and farther apart. So the good thing to do is to pick your train that brings your highest excitement and you think is going to be a good fit for you, feels good. It's all about feeling good. And choose that train now so that the farther we get down the road, you know, you can still change trains, but you're going to have to either jog or sprint or, you know, break ass. And try to get, and eventually those tracks are going to start to dissipate and you won't be able to get, you know, on a different thing. It's going to be very difficult. So he said, you know, and a lot of the teachers now say.
I got a question there.
Yeah.
Is he saying that you have to make a choice that can't be changed at this point? I'm not following that.
He's saying that to find the vibrations that you're on, because he was talking about the parallel worlds that are going to happen, that some people's experience with this new world is going to be very different from others. So, you know, it's kind of going into the world that you're looking to create. That's why it's important to do your best now and focus on your bliss and do things you enjoy so that you find yourself in the right vibration when things start to really pick up. So it's really just about paying attention and awakening and doing everything you can do, you know, and forgiving yourself and giving yourself permission slips. But if you've got your head in the sand, you know, it's just going to be that much more difficult later on when we're all really trucking along here.
And trucking along to where? Because that's the thing I always get confused with anymore.
Mm.
You know, I've been here for over 30 years looking at the, so from, you know, pretty much from, you know, 87 on through 2012. And I know there's a shift going on and we have to break that shift through. But, you know, you still get, I want to show me. And I think that's a very good thing for your confidence, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want confirmation when I hear that there's a dual dimension mm-hmm. opening up in the future. There's a lot of people that are talking about, I know we've jumped around here,
mm-hmm.
but I think it comes to bear. A lot of people saying that the fifth dimension is something that is going to happen. Well, you've got to give me some more confirmation than mm-hmm. just somebody saying so.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, he said he was talking about that we're making our evolution into the fourth dimension, and there are other civilizations that are in the fourth and working towards the fifth. The Syrians have the fourth, fifth, and sixth, sixth being non-physical, fifth being semi-physical, and fourth being physical, but on a different level with it. So in our planetary evolution, that's what we're going towards is, and then what's the fourth dimension, time or duration? So we're just starting to understand this both scientifically, also mentally, and then vibrationally.
The fourth dimension is supposed to be extraordinarily creative because it's the astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, where everything happens at the same time and starting to understand that.
There.
There's
a lot of fear there. That's where mystery mm-hmm. school systems have always based a lot of their, you know, a lot of their work, you know, their initiatory work in. So I always get confused because I think that, like Bashir, is maybe speaking about another quantum level than what I'm talking about with the astral plane. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you know, when I say I feel the shift in you when I say there's a lot of fear there. Well, we've discussed the astral plane, you know, the emotional body and all of that. So, and it's always been that fourth dimensional piece of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bigger picture. So sure, of course. I mean, it's a whole new frontier. So it's like, well, of course fear wouldn't be part of it, you know. And again, I think to loop it back around, I think that's where the confidence is really about. I mean, how do you learn to listen to your inner voice? How do you learn to listen to your intuition and that higher whatever it is? And it has to have confidence that once you've been working with it, this is how you work. I mean, to accept and like you said, give yourself some acknowledgement and praise for the work that you've been doing. You know, if you're surviving right now, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I think we can't say that enough.
Yeah,
you know, I think people really need to pat themselves on the back and say, gosh, I'm getting down the road here, and I'm doing it without, you know, falling down too hard
mm-hmm.
every day and being depressed, or I'm doing well, I'm healthy, I'm good, I see good things happening too. I mean, we all have to, especially today, you know, we have to look for the good stuff, and it's there. It's right there in front of us. That's something that's important to remember.
Yeah.
You were going to ask me some questions about tools to work with in some regard with this.
And the confidence, because, you know, I find that there are a lot of parallels between a lot of us. And I think that's when we're creating something new, that's a big piece of it, because obviously we're doing it because we have some sort of confidence and joy when we do it. So to strengthen that, to continue to fill that well and be able to step away from the fear bank and start to really enjoy all of this manifestation before the complete manifestation happens, because we're always told it's about the journey, not the destination. And it's true, you know, you don't remember when you came back from Florida. You remember everything you did while you were in Florida, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's true what you're saying. It's like remembering that the Lennon line, you know, life happens while you're busy making other plans.
Right.
It's very true. And you got to remember that saying, and I've heard you use it a lot of times, how are you going to act? And that's quite true.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you work with in terms of, you know, being able to strengthen that and feel that confidence? I love that walking lion. I keep seeing a picture of a lion. I don't know if you're going to go there, but I'm going to put that in.
those yoga myths, those yoga scents and blends are really about introspection, because they help you with yoga. Their first job is to assist in the fragrant way, in creating a fragrant atmosphere for you to work your yoga asanas in. And they're all for different portions of yoga as far as ascending in different levels of completion with learning how to do this, that, and the other. But a walking lion is all about, I believe that's the inner gratitude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And inner gratitude is wonderful for self-confidence. I mean, if you're happy with yourself, if you have a confidence within, and so it's lots of it is about, I don't know quite how to say this. Lots of it is about taking time every day. Well, like yoga, a daily exercise and a daily meditation. And it doesn't have to be a lot. And those are really wonderful tools. Now, a daily introspection, and I was reminded of this today, is working with Mr. Wanless's Voyager Tarot, which I think is really brilliant. The images and the idea behind his archetypes are basically the numerology and the tarot archetypes presented in symbolism are basically made for the shifting ages right now. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
I did a meditation for myself because, I'm going through some crisis. And really, basically, it's not important what it revolves around, but it has a lot to do, any crisis has a lot to do with self-confidence. So you use these tarot, and you can use any tarot deck, you can use any source of divination. Some people use runes. Other folks use the Ogham tree oracle of the ancient Celts. There's those staves. You can use the I Ching. Every culture has its focal point tools. But you'll find in many cultures that the tarot runs through many of them. And you know, the tarot is only about, 700 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, that's pretty new or recent. But Mr. Wanless's representations with his beautiful collages and the symbolism in them help us to find the images that respond to the moment we're in.
Mm-hmm.
There's that magic that happens when you sincerely pick cards from a deck. They will reflect what you need to know in the moment. Today I did it. and I wrote about it and posted it on Facebook. And it really worked well for me. And when I was doing that, do you know what I sprayed myself with?
What?
The money mist.
I just sprayed that before the show. I was like, really, interesting pick. I did that in the Flying Dragon. I was like, money, nothing like confidence. Money, yeah, man, let's spray that. That's funny. Go on.
Well, and it's also a very grounding and joyful scent. And that's why it works so well with many people. And so I made a money mister. I reclaimed or recycled the bottle, and I washed the inside out. And the label that had been on it, I worked hard as I could to get off, and then brought it to the bench and tried with alcohol, get the gummy stuff off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't all come off, and I was getting upset with it. So I tried just putting the label on it, and I said, you know, this ain't going nowhere but on my bench. So I put a lot of energy into it because I worked on it for so long. Mm. So I'm using it on the bench. I said, this is the perfect choice. Work with your tools, you know. Mm-hmm. But for going into a moment of meditation from my catalog, there's several different choices you can make, and it all depends on what your life is circling around in the moment, you know. For somebody, it could be inner gratitude, and walking lion would work really well. Or it could be that somebody needs to focus on issues around the heart. And I have a heart chakra mist, and also there's the heart chakra oil from the Chakra Oils collection. And these scents help to open you up in sensual levels, to being ready to look within and find the relationships you need to get a handle on what's going on within yourself and what's happening around you in the moment. Question?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't do yoga, but those yoga misters are really working for me, and the inner gratitude, walking with that and understanding the, like I talked about on Monday, about being able to look in the mirror, looking for your self-love, because that's really the most important no matter what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And not to be afraid of whatever you see in the mirror. So to know that all parts of yourself are there for a reason, even your impatience, your angry guy, your naysayer, all those parts of you are just trying to help you. So with the yoga is sort of like the everyday living. You don't necessarily have to do yoga poses to get that daily yoga going.
No, you don't. You can work with just the mists and the scents and find a moment of meditation. There's many ways to meditate, too. Yoga's one because it's focused exercise, and it's done usually within a resonant environment. It's really wonderful stuff. I do myself kind of a cross between some of the little moves I'm able to do and Tai Chi together. I do maybe 3 or 4 minutes in the morning, which is a lot. You wouldn't think it is, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get going, I remember watching the movie Calendar Girls, and they used to go out on the hill and do their Tai Chi together. I don't know. I think it was like once a week, not every day. And they'd spend a half an hour doing the Tai Chi out there. Well, I know you do Tai Chi, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I haven't done it. as much or felt the need to do it. I think you have to listen to yourself when those things happen, you know, if you're doing some sort of discipline and you want to step away from it. Because I notice every time I step away from it, when I come back to it, it's that much more powerful. And then I may step away again, but it's part of the, sometimes you have to step away.
Well, there's a time when we need to listen to the counsel of good friends. And that's about asking for help when we need it.
Mm.
A lot of us don't ask for help when we need it. I'm one of those people. And today when I was going within and I was paying attention to the archetypes and the way the descriptions that Wandless gives, I was actually finding connection and relationship to my world and what had just gone on with it. I talked to a good friend, our astrologer here, Joni Ross, and she reflected back to me. Now, she's been through quite a journey here recently. She got diagnosed with cancer. She went and had surgery, had it removed. They told her she did not need any chemo, but she went through with it because she wanted to make sure. She kind of regrets it now. She doesn't think she needed it, but she felt she needed to be sure. I think she's cancer-free. She's doing her Buddhism and chanting again and holding her groups and slowly coming back from coming in through recovery. Mm-hmm. From all of this. And she was reflecting back to me the same kind of questions we're addressing right now here. And it's about self-confidence. It's about you do have to love yourself. You have to face whatever you are judging within yourself.
Yeah.
And bring it to the surface.
Mm-hmm. And allow yourself to feel whatever it is you're feeling. I mean, sometimes I found like a more intricate part of that, because we all want to feel good. And so if we understand the idea of vibration and we're looking to have ourselves on a good vibration for most of the time, I mean, that's my goal.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're just not feeling that. And now I see there's a difference between, all right, I'm in a place where I don't want to be and I want to get out of it, so I just have to find the way. Or sometimes you're feeling something that is, you know, not your 100% confident, rah-rah, yay me self, but it's something else. And some part of you just wants to feel that, just needs to take a step back, just needs to, you know, just not worry about trying to feel good or trying to make me feel any kind of way. I just want to feel a little blah or a little angry or a little sad. And I think that is one of the greatest healings we can do for ourselves, is just enjoy those different feelings. I mean, because then it can also help us when we feel it again, because anger, sadness, frustration, I mean, those things aren't going away, you know, and if they do, that's weird. Like, we've become some sort of, I don't know, angel sitting on a cloud. Like, I don't think that's going to be our experience. It's part of what makes it interesting here with this contrast. So to also, it helps us to enjoy those feelings, even if they're not pure happiness or joy. And then when they come again, it's not like we're like, oh, I got to get out of this. It's more like, okay, old friend, I know you, and it looks like we're going to be hanging out for a while. So you know what? Let's watch a movie.
Well, I hear you. I hear you. I know what you're saying. Well, today, when I was explaining what I was doing, I was pulling cards, and I do think a daily meditation with one card is a really good thing. And you don't have to spend a lot of time with it. I did mine today, and I actually pulled 10 cards, but I only explained three. The first three were quite revealing.
Very.
And it's an irony, and I'm reading myself here, that we're always anchored to a reading, bringing true purpose and exposing of the moment up and out in front of you in a card layout, that it's that special magic that provides confirmation, you know, it really does. We do draw to ourselves the cards when we focus and we concentrate, the cards that are going to give us the most information. And no copping out with that, you know, what's going to happen crap. because that's like going to the reader and saying, you know, when am I going to get laid? When am I going to get paid? And how soon? You know? I mean, there are people who go to folks like Kevin Ryerson, who's like $400 an hour, and say, when am I going to get laid? Jeez, man, I'd be talking to John the Divine and all the guys he channels. I mean, I would waste it on that kind of crap.
And yet sometimes we find ourselves asking those questions, you know, and you can kind of see the reaction of whatever tool you're working with. You kind of get this answer back like, maybe you should just relax or write. And you're like, write or go outside. You're like, I don't. They're like, well, I don't. You know, ask me a real question for sure.
Well, but, today I pulled the first card I pulled with the Voyager was the Wheel of Fortune. And how apropos, because I'm having a money crisis. Mm-hmm. And the short and sweet of the Wheel of Fortune in the traditional tarot is about what is up has to come down and what is down must come up. It's the eternal warp and woof of motion and growth. And it fits my situation. In the Voyager experience, imagery and meditation on the pictures, they spoke to me today initially. And the first thing I related to was the roller coaster. And but it wasn't about the material, the roller coaster. It was about the mental and emotional, which, you know, shoot. It's you know, usually that first card significance is a significator reflecting you. But in the Voyager spread, the first card is about your mentality. So my mentality is focused in the Wheel of Fortune. And there's a clear crystal in that collage. And that tells me that I denied myself clarity. So this is perhaps why my material transformations have been elusive, you know? Mm-hmm. And taking the risks, the little matador displays taking the risks, that's asking for help for me personally, clearly. And the other clarity that I found was not just, which comes not just from the resource of the imagery with those cards, but it's also counsel that I've found with friends who are on the same kind of spiritual journey, including you, that have been around me. And it comes back to me when this symbolism comes up. You know, this is how cards can be, that can help us. Mm-hmm. Because they bring together, they call together a bunch of experiences we're having in the time period around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your cards spoke to me too. I was like, wow, again, with the parallels between a lot of us. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that. That, you know, they spoke to you in that way, but they were also, they really helped me change myself around today because I've been, to be perfectly honest, it's like, I feel like I'm very, very menstrual and still I see it. I don't really believe it, which I think is a really interesting look at my own idea of manifestation, as well as the fact that we have a full moon in Leo tomorrow. This is like, you know, and then to be a woman and have your menstruation, you can go through this washing machine. So, you know, my own self, I just need to know what we're doing. If I don't know what we're doing, I'll ask questions until I know what we're doing. I just need to make a decision. So looking at your cards were very helpful for me because of the ebb and flow. I was like, oh, right, it's the same thing with empty. Must fill, must empty. I always want to be 100%, and when I'm not, it freaks me out. You know, I'm an Aries, today is a new day. I'm like, what's going on? Fix it, fix it. So,
can you hear me, Nick, clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You're coming in all garbled. I'm going to hang you up and put you back on, okay?
Okay, cool.
Hang on. Let me get you
on.
You hang up and I'll put you back on, okay?
Okay.
Holy McGillicuddy, we're having a station break. Are you there? Hello. Are you there?
All right. Is it better?
Nope, it's not.
Well, all right. Well, maybe you should just do a lot of the talking.
My goodness. Let me try it one more time, hon. Okay?
Okay.
And I appreciate your standby, folks. We are we're trying to get the signal back.
All right. How about that?
It seems better.
All right. That's good.
Jeez. I'll tell you, it's Mercury retrograde, right?
Yeah, I can feel it coming. But I think the idea also of the...
Oh, dear.
You can't hear me still?
It's garbled. It's really crazy. We've had a really good show so far. We've given out a lot of really good information. But at this point, sweetie, I think we're going to, why don't we carry this on next week? Because you sound like a dysfunctioning robot.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, God. Try to say a sentence for me.
All right. Dog flat moon at 8,000 OMG.
Yeah, we're not making it. Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, finish up with confidence if you can hear what I'm saying.
We are in Mercury retrograde. So I think what we should do is carry on next week. What do you think?
Sure. I mean, I was going to say, you know, something about confidence. But you may not be able to hear me. So,
yes, I agree. Finishing up with confidence and self-confidence is important right now. Folks should, this is the focus. I'm just completely garbled, too. But I have self-confidence. I'm thinking you can hear me clearly, but when you talk, it's like, it's very garbled, sweetie.
Yeah, I can hear you totally clearly.
I have no idea what it is. Can you try pulling out your mic jack and pushing it back in? Because that might help.
All right. How about that? Anything?
It completely fixed the problem.
Wow. I did that 3 times already, but I guess on air was no way to go. Amazing. I sometimes wonder if when we're changing, this is going to sound way out there, but I'm saying it. So when we're changing sort of vibrations and they say that we go through different dimensions, like sometimes within minutes, that sometimes it gets a little garbled.
Okay.
Yeah, it is the consciousness shift. You know, the name alone might do that.
that's true. That's absolutely true. Well, what we were talking about earlier with using tools, like I said, one of my personal favorites is, and you can use animal medicine cards. They're wonderful tools. I, in fact, usually pick one a day. I have a little thing on my bench here with that holds the cards, and if they're in my circumference during the day, I will pick a new one. I did today when I was cleaning on the other side of my bench, and I picked up Eagle, as a matter of fact, which is a direct connect to spirit. They're wonderful, people like them. As I said, there's runes. And we're talking mostly about divination tools, but they're really tools that are wonderfully useful for connecting with what is within ourselves. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, the daily pickup of a card. I prefer the Voyager deck. I also like the Arthurian Tarot. What do you use?
I use the Ascended Masters by Doreen Virtue. I really like that one. And with my clients, I bring with me also Healing with the Angels,
uh-huh,
and another one called Trust Your Vibes. So all three have very different energies, and I have my clients choose which one calls to them. But at the moment, I use the Ascended Masters just because it seems to kind of get to the point. But I really liked your the wandless that it was. It spoke to my jigsaw nature because it was like a collage of, you know, ancient and recent and timeless things and imagery. You know, there was an owl and the like a Nefertiti bust, and then the moon on top.
Oh,
and then
yeah, with the image I put on that. Yeah, that's the collage of the High Priestess.
Cool.
Yeah, well, we are the priestess or the priest whenever we're doing an inner reading, and that's what it is. It's an inner reading. And it's about looking with honesty and relating the best way you might with honesty to what is given to you through the divination that they tell you about in the deck, you know, in the book,
mm-hmm.
the description card.
Yeah, because what you pick is what you are vibrationally calling to you. And I think trusting that and having confidence in that, that whatever it says is exactly what needs to be said to you. I mean, it's also physics, isn't it? There, objects aren't until we focus on it, and then they are. So whatever's coming is literally what needs to be said. So to sit with that and go, okay, what is this saying to me?
That, I agree with you completely. I agree with you. Well, and some of the best tools have been these new that I can talk about with my own product line are the yoga, the living yoga misters and oils. Begins with let me go back to the other thing I was going to mention too. One of the great guides that I've gotten into, and I think you have too, is the guidance of the Astro Flash. And I don't just depend on one. I try to read it all, whether or not, or listen to it all, the astrological forecasting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't take it. Most of the ones I listen to are not predicting future. They're telling you what the influences are that are coming up. And I think it's reasonable and smart to be aware of those influences. It's like Mercury retrograde. We're experiencing sluggishness. Did I say sluggishness?
Yep.
When I could have said full fucking stop.
Sluggishness is good. Kind of like the mushy gushy that we got going on outside. Yep.
to the flow of things right now. Oh my gosh. But I wanted to play just a little bit of Tom Lesher's Pele report, him explaining the incredible creativity that tomorrow's full moon is bringing.
Mm, one of my favorites. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a...
And now what I'm saying is that Saturn is crossing new territory from December, January, February. It's inching its way up to this new, if you've got anything between 17 and 23 degrees of the fixed signs, you're getting a Saturn punch. And I got a whole bunch. I'm getting a Saturn punch. I don't know about you, but this full moon now is happening, in square to that Saturn. Not only that, Mercury retrograde is also coming around. It's conjunct to Sun all week. So we have a Sun-Mercury conjunction opposite with the moon squaring Saturn. And what does that mean? Let's look at it. Let's talk about it. Yeah. You know, this has to do with creation. You know, last week, if you remember, I was talking about how Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, the last three signs of the zodiac, these archetypes have so much to do with universal law, universal principles, universal divine spirit kind of overshadowing, overpowering our personal Cancer, Leo, you know, energy of ourself, our subjective self. And so there is, there has been this energy going on where it's time for us to conform or fit in or pay attention to something bigger, something greater than our own personal needs and desires and wishes and whims. But, and this is the interesting thing, and what's so cool about this full moon. 2 weeks ago, we had the new moon in Aquarius. And that new moon in Aquarius is like, hello, Aquarius, the third eye awakening, the Prometheus, stealing fire from the gods and bringing it down to illuminate humanity. Aquarius is about liberation, innovation, science, technology, the nutty professor, the mad scientist, Dr. Frankenstein.
The nutty blender.
But it was a time of seeding. The new moon in Aquarius is seeding new ideas, new flashes, new potentials, new community, new friends, new information coming from the global reality, from the extraterrestrial realm, from the galactic sphere. Very cosmic new moon that was going on there in January. Now, that seed was sown 2 weeks ago, and full moon comes around to Leo, and it's time to blossom. It's time for that seed to sprout. It's time for the imagination of Aquarius, the inspiration and the genius to ground, to come in, to manifest, to create something unique, something original, something outrageous. For each and every one of us to be an example. You know, what I'm thinking is it's human nature to create.
And I think that explains a lot of things right now, don't you?
Yeah, it's all about the confidence, isn't it? Just allowing that creation to come.
And, you know, you're a very creative person. I think all people are creative.
Yeah.
I've seen moms sitting on park benches with children and keep them occupied. They become artists.
Yep.
You know, I've seen men leaning back in elevators with a briefcase under their arm on their iPad or whatever, doing something that looks like they're creating something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has it within them. And it's the diversity of humanity and the individuality that makes us so special.
Yeah.
That was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oh, and the other part about it is, and we've only got 2 minutes to say it, happy Valentine's Day to folks.
Thank you. Same to you.
it's about the love, too. The love is always there. That's what makes the world go round. I'm fully convinced. That's what makes the universe do its gig.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, and that's what it should be about tomorrow and all days.
So I want to remind people in the 90 seconds we have left to tune in on Monday nights at 7 p.m. to Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini.
Thanks. I think we're going to talk about dealing with negativity, your own, that around you, the forces that be, you know, so that we can have that confidence and enjoy ourselves and our love, self-love.
There you go. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Gwen. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the ride.
And I want to thank our audience for listening, whether it's been live or an archive. And I'd love to remind you that we are sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, where you can find the fragrant memories of our ancestors and all kinds of really great stuff, from flower essences to soaps. I even have kits over there. And remember, you'll find my phone number on the website, and I'm here at the bench anytime you need to call and ask a question, because I'm happy to help, happy to serve.
Nice.
Okay. So
all right.
That would be nighty-night.
All right. Nighty night. Thank you so much. Peace and love.
Peace and love.